This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people follow the rules. I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, here on 97.1 The Ticket. 248-539-9797. We got a topic here. You know, Rory, that's a popular win. And there might be people out there that don't like Rory, although he seems to be immensely likable. And so our question today is, what's the athlete that you rooted for more than any other just to accomplish whatever it was that it was? We'll get to ours coming up shortly. But, you know, this is a great moment for Rory McIlroy winning the Masters in dramatic up and down roller coaster fashion. I saw somebody post to us that he choked and was clutch at the same time. Right. It really was. Let's go to Pete. You're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Pete.
Hey, morning, guys.
What's up?
I'll tell you what, until yesterday, if you asked me Saturday, it would have been Muhammad Ali in both his Frazier throw in Manila fight and his fight against Foreman. But yesterday was just unbelievable theater. I mean, the whole thing. And if you recall, Rory stated in the post round interview that his double on number one actually calmed his nerves in a strange way. And I just thought it was compelling golf all day, the raw emotion. And that's going to be a number one that's going to be hard to beat for me going forward.
Yeah, no, I understand. It was a great moment. And that's funny. I didn't hear him say that a double bogey to open up the round calmed his nerves. It feels like it'd be just the opposite. One would think, yeah. Now this is the difference between a highly tuned athlete that's, you know, and competitive and mentally strong and a guy like me. If I double bogey one, I will finish the round, but there's really no point. I will suck the rest of the day. I'll be disappointed, I'll let it carry over.
I might actually walk off the course and go into the 19th hole.
Yeah, not if I'm playing in the Masters. You know, I'll finish the round. But if I'm thinking that's unlikely. But if I'm playing my own, you know, I'm up north playing a round of golf and I double bogey one, I'm like, oh, damn it. This is not the way to open.
Oh, you got 17 holes to make up for it.
I'll be thinking about it when I'm standing on the second tee box. There's a few things that separate me from being a highly tuned athlete.
Just a few?
That's one of them, yeah.
Okay.
Mike is next. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
What's
all right,
up?
Mike.
Yeah, so even though he planted the flag in the Black O down in Columbus, and I hated the Browns drafting him, he grew on me. I think he's a gamer, but he got hosed by the Browns. I think Baker, like, I love Baker. I think he's a good dude. And I've liked him since the Browns, you know, sent him down the road.
So you're obviously a Browns fan.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. What is it about Baker you like?
Just I mean he wears his heart on his sleeve. I think he's always pumping up guys. I mean he's a gamer.
Okay. Gotcha. There you go. Baker Mayfield. 248-539-9797. Who is the athlete that you rooted for more than any other? Who was it for you?
It was Steve Yzerman to win that first Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
I was, you know, for years, obviously we grew up watching hockey and grew up watching Steve Yzerman play from day one. And, you know, that fourth year or third or fourth year when he was in the league and got the Red Wings into the conference finals against Edmonton in back-to-back years, and one year he was hurt, but he was able to come back and play. It was, you know, and then there was this long break of Red Wings were good, but they were actually very good in the regular season, but just couldn't get over the hump in the playoffs. And then they finally punched through in 95, and, you know, he's got that amazing goal against St. Louis, and we're all excited about it, and then they get swept. And then the next year is the Draper situation against Colorado. And like, are they ever, they're not going to realize this? And then they make the moves, and then he's able to lead that team to the first Stanley Cup in 1997. That was, I could not have been happier.
Is there a non-local that qualifies? Or?
I didn't think you said non-local.
No, I didn't, but I'm just thinking, and you know, that obviously was the team as well.
Yeah, I mean, there were other, I really was, circumstances were kind of crappy on it, but I was rooting very hard for Ray Bourque to win a Stanley Cup because he was top of the game for, you know, 18 years or whatever he was playing at that point in the league and never got a chance to win a Stanley Cup with Boston all those years. And then Boston makes the move, all right, we're going to send it to Colorado. Unfortunately, it's with Colorado where he wins it.
Right.
But I was very happy for Ray Bourque to be able to hoist the Stanley Cup trophy.
Mine's predictable, but back in 1994, in the middle of August, Tony Gwynn was hitting .394. And I'm a big Tony Gwynn San Diego Padre fan, and he was like my favorite hitter as a kid. And as time goes on, I respect what he accomplished more and more. It seems like once a year, somebody puts something out on Twitter like, Tony Gwynn swung and missed at 7 pitches from 1986 to 1990. And
right.
You're like, wait, what? But anyway, nobody's hit .400 since Ted Williams. And when my team stinks, I have nothing to root for. I rooted for stuff like that. He flirted with hitting .400 and then the baseball work stoppage. God, I was bitter about that. But that was when I was rooting for an athlete more than any other time. 248-539-9797. What about you? What's the time you've been rooting for an athlete more than any other? Brian in Livonia says, I seriously rooted for Mike Tyson to beat Jake Paul. I still can't believe he didn't show up for that fight.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Unnamed texter, I don't want to make this a debate, but I truly rooted for Stafford to win the Super Bowl more than I really ever rooted for any individual athlete ever before. After he got his ring and we became good, I stopped rooting for him because now he's a rival. I once thought I'd never root harder for anyone watching Tiger win his first Masters until yesterday. Rory is everything right with golf. 248-539-9797. What is it for you? Gator, we got some Tiger stuff to get to. We got a Piston team. Game one, Saturday night in Madison Square Gardens. We will discuss them and their first, this is their first legitimate playoff appearance in like 18 years because the previous teams that made it, we knew what they were. They were first round fodder. It was going to be, can they win a game? This team can win a series. That's a whole different feel. We'll get to that coming up this hour as well here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, it's Doug Karsh. Check out the spring savings at Sarah Chevrolet in Sterling Heights. Lease a new 2025 Chevy Equinox LT for just $289 a month for 36 months with $1,999 down. $289. Go now to 17.5 in Van Dyke in Sterling Heights. 87-SAY-SARAH or saysarah.com. Together, let's drive. With GM employee discount and lease in the household, 10,000 miles per year plus taxes and fees with approved credit. Offer ends at the end of the month. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Let's get back to your calls on an exciting Monday with a lot going on in Detroit. D is in Detroit, and he's on 97.1. Hello, D. D. D.
D.
Wondering, it sounds like he's off doing something. We'll circle back to D. Joe is in Sterling Heights and next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Joe.
Hi, good morning, men.
What's up?
I was just listening to your topic about who you were pulling for, and you guys are going to kill me for this one. But in 2004, the Pistons are in the finals, and my friend Ryan and I were the biggest Kobe Bryant fans. So in game two, at the end of game two, when they were down by three and Kobe hits that three-pointer to send him in overtime, I swear to God, my friend and I jumped up. We almost hit our heads on the ceiling, and we're hugging each other, dancing around his living room. Now, as a grown adult, 20 years later, so I regret that. I totally regret rooting against the Pistons. I just was a huge Laker fan, a Kobe fan growing up.
No.
Kobe courtside, all that.
So you didn't even get to enjoy it.
No, bro. I was bummed when the Lakers lost. Wow.
So a couple things. Joe, how old were you then?
I was 18.
Okay. All right, kids. All right. And you're a Detroit native?
He's a grown-ass man at 18.
What's that?
I was a grown-ass man, Gator. I don't, honestly, looking back at it now, I was walking around wearing a Kobe jersey in Detroit. I lived in Detroit, and I was walking around wearing a Kobe jersey. I was like, dude, what was I thinking? It was our first title in forever, and I didn't even get on board.
Well, I'm glad that you've matured, and hopefully you can enjoy another title soon.
Yes, sir. I'll be going to game three, whenever game three is. Whenever they decide to throw that out there, I'm going to take my daughter. But it was just something as a kid. I grew up playing Kobe all the time on the video games, you know.
Do you still have the jersey?
No, I do not have the
jersey. Do you have a Pistons jersey, a current Pistons jersey?
No, I don't have a current Pistons jersey, but I do have an old school Rip Hamilton, believe it or not. I got one from the
finals. You don't deserve to wear that
year.
One.
Oh, come on.
No, hang on.
This is a redemption story.
Just hang on. Joe, you don't deserve to wear Rip Hamilton. But if you're going to adopt somebody. I know. So what I'm saying is start new. Get a K jersey or something like that. Get something for your daughter and wear it proudly. But really, you have no ownership of the going to work Pistons. But this team, you can't.
But hey, listen, though. Real quick, if this can be any sort of redemption. The next few years, I was in the military, and I was rooting for the Pistons. No, not the military, but I was overseas rooting for the Pistons. It was just that 1 year against the Lakers, bros. The 1 year against the Lakers, I did fumble the bag on that one. I can't say that.
Yeah, your service to the country is more than redemption.
Yeah, what a interesting story. But you know what? I think when you're a kid, when you're young, you latch on to the weirdest things. And you look back and you're like, huh? What was that all about? But D is in Detroit and on 97.1. Hello, D.
Man, that was a hell of a story, fellas.
Weird.
That was a good one. Hey, DK Gator, Kang, what's going on, homie? Before I get to them great Pistons story, man, I just want to say thank you, Detroit Red Wings. Thank you for ruining the state and city hope. The Tigers started it off. We followed it up with the Lions, even though it was short-lived, but they still, you know, had the city hyped up. And now the Pistons are following the Lions up. So thank you, Detroit Red Wings, for letting the state and the city down.
Wow.
And you ought to refund some of the money to some of them hardworking fans that have been supporting you for the last 9 years. Refund some of that money, man.
This is dripping with sarcasm.
Man, no, I'm serious, DK. They've been supporting this team all these years, bro, and you can't get it right yet. And like I said, this state is on a roll. All our pro teams make a playoff noise.
But we are on a roll.
My second point, Jace Richardson. I don't know who giving this kid advice about he's an NBA lottery pick. Negative. Jace, you need to go back to MSU one more year under Coach Tom and get some more conditioning, some more, you know, skills, get a little bit stronger. Bro, you remember Kobe Bufkin? You remember Juwan Howard Jr.? They got the same advice, DK. Oh, these are NBA players. They're NBA-ready players. And look at them now. 3 years in the league, and neither one of them are doing nothing. You're getting NIL money? Stay in college until you're getting ready to go to the pros, bro.
I guess I would say that I think Jace is better than those players were at this stage when he made the decision. He can still come back into Michigan State. But if he's got GMs from around the league that they've been polling and talking to, and they're saying, yeah, you should go pro because you'll be taking the top 15 picks, then go do it. But I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up coming back to Michigan State.
In everybody's case, I would like to know who have they talked to and what they're being told. And you really have to be very judicious in who you listen to when you make these decisions. And if they are credible people that can give you guarantees, the problem is with deciding that you're going to jump to the league and become a fringe player is that next year there's 60 to 100 guys after your job. And if you don't make an impact, next thing you know, you're playing in La Crosse, Wisconsin in the G League. And it's just, it is what it is.
That's what I'm trying to get at. Hey, one more point before I go. I love the show. Hey, DK, you said it a minute ago about this team, the Detroit Pistons, can not only win a game, not two games, but they can win a series.
They can win a series.
Still got people out here that don't want to believe it. But I'm telling you right now, it's two players we have to keep under check to make this happen. Mikal Bridges and my man, who's the other kid out of Villanova?
Josh Hart.
No, we can deal with Brunson and Towns. I'm not worried about them two, DK, but it's the other two. Mikal Bridges and Josh Hart are both excellent two-way players. They play with a lot of tenacity, heart. They both are physical. DK, it's up to Amir Thompson and my man Ron Holland. We're going to have these two guys get in the mix, get physical, and go strive with strive. If we keep them two under control, DK, we got a hell of a chance. Love the show. Let's go Pistons. And one more thing. I love George Blaha, bro. 49 years and still doing the strong.
It's crazy. Yeah, he's a legend. So, look, the one thing, when I look at this matchup and I look at this series and I look how it played itself out this year and how dominant Cade was, and Cade was dominant, but the last game there was a guy that didn't play for the Knicks, and I wonder if OG Anunoby is going to be the guy that's guarding Cade and how much of a difference that will make. And regular season game versus playoff game. Regular season game versus playoff game. What happens when veterans, when guys who've been there and done that, get to the postseason? Do they take it to the next level? Because if the regular season is any indication, this series is a toss-up. I mean, the Pistons did win the season series, but I'll call it a toss-up. If there is more to give, and my instinct, and I think veterans will tell you that there's more to give, the Knicks are favored for a valid reason. But I'm really interested to see, because this is a different kind of test for this young Piston team, and there's no telling how they respond to this. There's reason to believe that they got a toughness and they've got a will to win and they got to do whatever it takes kind of attitude. But playoffs are a different deal, man. Playoffs are a different deal.
Well, I'm looking forward to the playoffs as everybody else is, first time in a while. And I think this is a team that really has a chance to advance. You're going against a New York team that you beat in the season series 3-1. Yes, it's a different game when it goes to the playoffs, but the Pistons play a playoff brand of basketball. And it's going to be key that Cade Cunningham doesn't turn the ball over. But with the last two games against the Knicks, he had 36 points in each game. He's doing just fine. And seeing that the Pistons can throw what they can throw at defensively is going to be fun. It's not just Isaiah Stewart. It's Asar Thompson, Ron Holland, all these guys, at Jalen Duren. These guys are going to be hounding Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson. And we'll see how they respond to it and how the Pistons respond to it. It's one of these that you just sit back and enjoy it.
Jason is next on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Jason?
How we doing, guys?
Great.
So you got me there, Doug, when you mentioned, you know, just players or teams that you latch onto as a kid.
Yeah.
I have zero reason why, but playing college football games, you know, growing up,
yeah,
I got attached to Bowling Green. I have no idea why. I think it was the colors, the logo. I think it's kind of underrated, but even there was one player. It's not Antoine Fuqua. I know he directed Training Day, but the wide receiver's last name was Fuqua, and that was my guy. And, you know, always seeing those dudes. And every time I seen Bowling Green, you know, I was always hyped up. And even driving through that area one time at an exit, I was like, oh, we got to go see Bowling Green. We gotta go see the stadium, and drove through it. But that's one I have no – There's no reason why I latched onto them, but I just
That's hysterical. That is absolutely hysterical. And there was a receiver from Bowling Green.
If he wasn't auto generated, his last name was Fuqua.
Okay, so it might have been made up for the college game.
But it could have been made up just because back then, you know, they didn't you know, have everything going on there, but yeah, the orange and brown, I guess.
You never know what gets people going. We're asking you, with Rory winning, and I'm not quite sure how that is relative to that conversation, but with Rory winning the Masters, is there an athlete out there, real or generated on a computer game, that you became a massive fan of and just rooted for him to win? Well, you weren't rooting for the team. You were rooting for an individual to come through. And we've had some interesting answers and some more coming in, and we understand why when we see them all. We will get to that today at 11:32. And then so much more than we could have asked for. It's so much more than we could have asked for. That at 11:37 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Well, it looks like this weather is finally taking a turn for the better, at least with the temperatures are concerned. But we're still going to get a bunch of rain, which means that the grass is going to start turning greener. You want it to be as green and lush as possible. Do the right thing. Call Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service, where you get green and stay green with the natural way. Call them today. 888-GET-GREEN or go to naturalwaylawn.com. For a limited time only, you purchase a full lawn program. You get free grub control. But you got to mention me, Gator, in the station 97.1 The Ticket. You want to save some green? Here's how you do it. You get green and save some green when you prepay. Get on a schedule, call by the end of the month to get the early bird discount. It's awesome. You don't want to see crabgrass, right? You don't want to see dandelions. Dandelions are weed. Crabgrass is awful. It chokes out your yard. And if you see it in the middle of the summertime, you obviously didn't pay attention to it, and it's too late to treat for it. Treat for it right now. Make sure you have that beautiful lawn that is the envy of all the neighborhood. Natural Way is great. They use certified applicators and arborists that custom tailor solutions specifically for your yard and your home. They're a locally owned company for over 35 years. It's a company I've trusted for almost a dozen years. Give them a call today, 888-GET-GREEN, or go to naturalwaylawn.com.
Going better than we ever could have asked for. We'll get to that today at 11:37. It's Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. All right, so Rory wins the Masters, dramatic fashion, up and down, roller coaster ride, a really, really entertaining watch. And, God, what a raw moment afterwards, too. You could see his emotion, and I thought, I was amazed. I wonder how long Jim Nance went between. Like, he was quiet for like 5 minutes.
It was like a full 5 minutes.
Yeah,
it was fantastic. Wild.
In the meantime, who's the athlete that you just rooted for? Not the team, but an athlete that you're rooting for to accomplish something. Here's some of the feedback we've gotten from Luke. Ovechkin winning his cup. Ovechkin's a very likable guy. Yeah. People like the way he plays. Michael Phelps Olympics when he was going for all those medals.
Sure.
Larry Fitzgerald in the Super Bowl with the Cardinals. I wanted him to win a ring so bad. That's from Petey in Brighton.
Very likable guy.
John in Lake Orion says it had to be Tiger's first Masters. Beyond the athletic accomplishment, it was super significant cultural and civil rights milestone.
It was, very much so.
Years ago when Tiger won the Masters again when many thought he couldn't. It's from an unnamed texter, and yeah, that was a bit of a surprise. Champ and Chump votes, Champ Western Michigan Hockey. Hate to do it, but the Red Wings are the chump for the playoff miss. Yeah, they're getting a lot of votes. Champ Rory McIlroy, amazing scene yesterday, and visibly saw the weight of the world lift off that man. Chump the Red Wings. That's from Frank in Royal Oak. Yeah, you could. I mean, that was obviously a ton of pressure on him, lifted. And it was great competition. It was great drama. It was funny because I think that's the first time my 17-year-old really got into a golf tournament, and all he wanted was it to keep going. He wanted Rory to miss that putt so bad because he wanted a playoff, but he wanted Rory to win.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. You just want to, you don't want it to end. Just let's see more golf, more golf.
Yep. Let's see. What do we got here? From an unnamed texter, Champ, as thrilled as I am about the Tigers so far, my champ vote has to be Western Michigan for winning the Frozen Four championship. Jump the Red Wings. 9 straight seasons without a playoff appearance. They're getting into SOL territory. I wouldn't go that far, but I would say that it is amazing that it's been that long for this organization.
It's embarrassing.
Yep. Champ Rory McIlroy. Chump Nico. That's from Jody in the D. Nico Iamaliava, who is the holdout player from Tennessee, the quarterback who has been told he's no longer welcome on the team. With the information that's available, I understand it and I champed it. I'm hesitant to do it because I feel like there's another side to this story, but we'll see. We shall see. 248-539-9797. All right, Scott, Tigers take 2 of 3 at Minnesota. First place in the Central, game up on Cleveland. A lot of baseball to go. Continue to like what I'm seeing out of this team. There's a lot to like. But there's an amazing story. There's a few amazing stories going into this season, Scott, we get a sense for what fans are thinking in these jobs. We get a sense for what creates buzz and what doesn't. We get a sense for where what people are excited about, what they're talking about, and we get a sense for when a story is dead. Okay? When it no longer, you know what was not a story 3 months ago? Casey Mize really wasn't a story.
Nope.
Spencer Torkelson wasn't a story.
Nope. Well, I mean, the story was that Tork was out of a job at first base.
Javi Baez was not a story.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, the only way that they came up was in topics about salvaging something. What could they salvage out of these three? That was the realistic goal. Salvaging projects. Which was like, you know, can Tork be a little bit of a right-handed power bat and, you know, hit 250 and maybe walk a bunch and get into double digits with home runs? If he even came up. But I think most people had started to move on. Casey Mize, who wasn't great this weekend, but Casey Mize, the guy can't even stay healthy. Can he maybe lock down the fifth starter job and get us double digit wins? That was the salvage story with him. Javi Baez, I don't know that there was a salvage story. Not only have all three of them, it's not that they're salvaging anything anymore. Those three have contributed to wins. And the eternal question for all of them and what everybody's asking is, how long does this last? And to me, the response isn't how long. I'm more focused on those guys are helping them win games now. And in the end, right? In the end, when the season is over, your win total gets you into the playoffs. And when you miss the playoffs, you think about things like blown opportunities during the year. You think about, oh, if they'd only won that game back in April, or they didn't blow that big lead they had in June when you missed the playoffs by two games. You know, that you start looking back, and those guys are right now helping them find wins early in the year, which for a team with legitimate playoff aspirations, to me, it's just fine. I'm not even focused on when it's going to change and thinking about that. They're helping them win games now. They've moved beyond salvaging. They are assets. They're good. And if it doesn't last, it's not going to last. But you know what else probably won't last? Riley Green striking out all the time and Cole Keith hitting .170, right? Those things aren't going to keep happening. As likely as it is that some of these guys revert to the norm, it's also likely that others pick it up and that the team's still going to be good.
Yeah, I'm not terribly concerned about Riley Green, but what is alarming about Riley Green is he's got 25 strikeouts and just 60 at-bats. And that he's, you know, struck out 14 times in the last seven games. That's a ton.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I feel like he's done enough in his career to this point where you feel like, all right, there's a correction coming. Colt Keith, I'm not sure about yet. I feel like there should be. You know, I have confidence that he will, but at the same time, there's no proven track record with him at the major league level. He was a rookie last year.
Yeah.
No, but he's at .188 right now, and maybe some signs of warming up that he's going to start to hit a little bit better here. But yeah, I hope that there is that correction with those guys. I hope there's not the correction the other way with the other three that you mentioned, though. The three guys that weren't counted on a few months ago.
No.
Necessarily by fans or listeners, but I think the organization was counting on like a moment for perhaps all three of these guys. Let's turn around. We've seen to be very good in the past. It's time to turn it back on. And when you look at Casey Mize, you're healthy. Knock on wood, you're healthy. And remember what you were your first year in the league when you had an ERA of 3.7. Okay, you were learning and you were good. And then injuries piled up and, you know, sidetracked and the point where everybody was kind of gave up on you. Is he even going to make the rotation? Whatever. But proving through the first three starts, even the one yesterday, yeah, that's a starting guy. I know he got roughed up a little bit, gave up a couple home runs, but he gave up four runs in 5 2/3 innings and looked really strong, a couple of mistakes, and the walks are low. Torkelson, I mean, it was 31 home runs 2 years ago. A big second half of that season, and then it just didn't carry into last year. But it's a great start this year. We've talked about the differences in his stance at the plate, and he looks more athletic and all that, and it's paying off for him. Still strikes out a lot. 20 strikeouts in 15 games is not what you want to see, but he's providing that power. He's got 5 home runs. I think he's second in the American League in extra base hits to Aaron Judge. His OPS is well over 1,000. Here's when you know that Torkelson is turned that corner, is when you see teams start to pitch around him.
Mm-hmm.
When you start seeing the on-base percentage creep up even more. Now, it's already 100 points better than his average. He's got 8 walks in the 15 games. You start seeing that walk total change dramatically. That's when the league has shown respect towards Spencer Torkelson. It remains to be seen. Javi Baez, yeah, this would be the biggest reclamation project of all, because since he's been here, he hasn't been very productive at all. And to this point this year, he's come up with some timely hits for sure, but he hasn't shown that real extra base ability yet. He's got a couple of doubles, and he did crush a couple doubles, but he hasn't hit it over the fence yet. OPS is still below 700 right now. Just we'll wait and see on Javi, but you know, hitting at the bottom of the lineup now, and like we said, a couple of timely hits is paid a lot of dividends, and he looks competent at third base.
And there's something that I have now a lot of grace for that happened this year that I've really changed the way I digest some of sports. And I'll give you an example of something that was a big deal, but it was really nothing. We'll get to that today at 11:50. More of your phone calls, Champ and Chump. Let's get him in. The athlete you rooted for. The way people got on board and rooted for Rory yesterday to win the Masters. Who did you root when you didn't root for a team as much as you are rooting for an athlete to get his, whatever it was? 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. Look, they specialize in auto law. Because of that, they've recovered more $1 million auto accident results than any other lawyer or law firm in Michigan. They also have white glove customer service, something they pride themselves on. They take on fewer cases, fewer than any other law firm, and they do it on purpose. That means they have time for your case, and that formula leads to faster and larger settlements for their clients. The white glove customer service will call you back within 24 hours. Michigan Auto Law, the law firm that puts people over everything. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com. Champ a Chump, get your votes in on a Monday, 248-539-9797. Look, Gator, it was, I think, in some people's sphere, a very big story when Spencer Torkelson said he wasn't going to watch film. And, you know, we mentioned it, but I said, let's just wait and see what happens. Because I think out of frustration, sometimes guys say things. But I also understand that everybody's process is their own process. And whatever's going to work for him, whatever he had been doing hadn't been working. And, you know, he said he was going to do something different. I thought it was a big nothing taco when he said it, and I wasn't that concerned about it. And I guess this is the reason why. I mean, what you say is so irrelevant compared to what you do. And he is so doing it.
Well, this is true.
And you know, I got the old saying that everybody wants their athletes to wake up bright and early and eat the healthiest of breakfast, work out, watch film all day, eat nothing but you know, health food, and work out, watch film, and go to sleep. Because we want them to do everything they possibly can to be at their best at all times for our entertainment. But who are we, you know, whatever process is working for Spencer is all that matters. And if it's not watching film, great. If that's worked for you.
Well, and I was glad that AJ Hinch had cleared it up a couple of days later. And it said, no, he's going to be watching film. It's just a different kind of process he's going through. And you can clearly see a difference in what he is doing. It's his approach, literally and physically, at the plate. He's different.
Yeah.
It's not just a result. It's his stance is different. There's a lot that's different about it.
248-539-9797. Tom, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Tom.
Tom.
Go ahead, Tom.
Goodbye.
Tom?
Tom?
I think he told us goodbye, but didn't really hang
he
up.
He did, but he didn't hang up. Tom, hello?
This is
classic.
He just figured his phone is still in the car.
I want to know what Tom's doing. We'll circle back for Tom. In the meantime, feedback coming in from Milo. My champ is the NBA for giving the Pistons a Saturday evening playoff game. My chump, Red Bull Racing and their slow car. Assume Red Bull had a bad weekend.
Let's get it together.
Yeah. Come on, Red Bull. Pick it up.
Is it Long Beach? Is that where it was?
No. It was not. It was somewhere else in the world is where they were. You know how I am with Formula One. I don't pay attention until Drive to Survive comes out.
You know how I am. I don't even wait for Drive to Survive. I just don't pay attention.
Where were they?
Or did I?
Bahrain. They're in Bahrain.
That's definitely not Bahrain, Long Beach. Yeah.
Champ Western, Chump Costa. That's from Tony in Gross Point. I will tell you, while Costa is making a run, he's not likely to win Chump because there's a lot of other strong Chump candidates this weekend. Champ Torque, Chump Riley Green, he has more Ks than the Tiger pitching staff. It's from Bubba in Memphis, Michigan. More Ks than the Tiger pitching staff.
Who does? Torkelson?
Yeah. No, Riley Green.
Riley Green has 25 strikeouts.
Yeah.
The Tigers pitching staff has 117.
I mean, is he this is sarcasm or trying to
hyperbole?
Yeah. Champ Western Michigan hockey, Chump NCAA football. The NAL, NIL and free agency is ruining the game. Can't wait to see the high price guys fail. It's from Chris in Livonia. So I'm really committed to not letting change be a reason that I stop liking something that I've always loved. They're making it harder and harder because and I don't want this ever to be misinterpreted. And I don't know that fans are doing this. I think this is about getting to know and fall in love with your guys. This is about I shouldn't speak for this person. My frustrations aren't about the players making money, and my frustrations aren't about really the new rules. My frustrations are that we're losing something that I used to like. Okay. On a very base level, I used to like recruiting guys that would commit. Sometimes they commit like their junior years. They come in as freshmen. You see the talent. They develop as sophomores. By the time they're playing as juniors, and not everybody, some people play as sophomores. Hell, some play as freshmen. But you're developing a relationship, I put in quotes, with that player. You're getting to know them. You're getting to root for them. You get to see them develop. It was a fun process. That was a fun process. And the longer you have a relationship with somebody, the deeper the roots grow and the more you care. Those relationships are being shortened dramatically to the point where they become just snapshots in time, and the relationship, we're not allowed to grow the roots. Okay. Now, maybe not everybody cared about that stuff. I did. I felt like, you know, as a fan of a team, when that player's around longer, you get to know them more, and that becomes your guy. This is the college and the pros.
Well, there's an investment.
Yeah, you invest time in them, and you're developing that relationship. Sports being a sports fan is not logical, right? I mean, they're not. You're really not in a relationship, but you feel like you are with your guys, and that part of the collegiate game is going away. And that's hard to accept. Now, the NIL and the ability to make money, I guess more power to them. If I were to put I've always talked about the stupidity of the calendar, that off seasons start before the previous season's even done. And that's absurd. That has to change. Transfer portal windows and all that, they need to get in line and align these things better so that nobody can do anything until the season is done. players were leaving teams that were trying to win national championships because they didn't want to lose their chair in the college roster, you know, musical chairs. But I probably would look, the contract thing, the players and coaches would have to sign that are, you know, enforceable, makes sense. But I did the year after year after year after year after year, transfer. I mean, that's cutting back on those relationships. And that's a hard thing for some people to understand. So Chris and Livonia, chumps NCAA football, I see why you're doing it. I still enjoy the Saturdays, but it is getting tougher.
No, I mean, well, yeah, once the game comes along, you kind of put behind you what disgusts you about what's happened, and I get it. And that's why the NCAA probably doesn't care, because people show up in record numbers, people watch in record numbers, people are betting in record numbers, and that's just a big, giant money-making machine. But, yeah, I share that. I'm not thrilled with how things are. I'm really not happy at all with how it's changed so dramatically. Want to pay players? That's fine. Find a way that makes it make sense. And right now it doesn't make a whole lot of sense because there's no guardrails on this thing. I hate the idea of having to re-recruit players every year or every 6 months even to make sure that they stay within the program. That to me is it's frustrating, but it's got to be frustrating for a player as well to commit to a program and then you see a coach leave, and here comes somebody else, and now you're not happy, and you're always chasing that moment where you feel comfortable or you feel respected or you feel wanted, and if it's not going to be there for a couple of years, that's tough, and that's where we're at in college football.
And college athletics.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. All right, coming up next hour, we'll get a little bit more into what's being said about where our Tigers rank in Major League Baseball. And Gator, there's something that you and I didn't put together, but a national writer did as it pertains to the Tigers. I'm disappointed in us, and it's something I think we can develop a little bit. So we'll get to some more Tiger stuff coming up today at 12:05. Champ and Chump, get those votes in. Rory wins the Masters, 97-1 the ticket.